Hello everyone and welcome to the Pop That Mama podcast. In this episode, we're going to be talking about doulas, why they're important, who they are, and how they can support you during your birth. And we have Alex from the Original Birth Connection, who is a doula herself, and she also has her own doula training academy. So she really is the expert here, and I'm so excited to speak to her. As always, get yourself comfortable and enjoy. Alex, it's lovely to have you on. It's lovely to see you again. I know we met up in person a couple of weeks ago. And yeah, thank you so much. A lot of people ask me in my DMs, what is a doula? Why do we even need them? So I'm really looking forward to getting stuck into this conversation. Alex, why, in your view, do we need doulas?
I love that. We're just going to dive right on in. Why do we need doulas? We have always had support in and around the birth space throughout pregnancy, antenatally, and in the postpartum period throughout history. And the kind of modern conception of doulas is someone who will provide you with physical and emotional support antenatally, come with you to your birth, support you through your birth, and then be with you postnatally as well to kind of help settle you in as a family and help you heal. And they are incredibly important at the moment. They are, I believe, filling a massive gap in the kind of care and nurturing side of the support that we need when we have babies. There are huge issues in NHS maternity at the moment. We don't get that kind of one-to-one support through midwifery that we used to receive. Continuity of care is super well researched. We know that if you have support of someone you know, like, and trust through the antenatal period, through your birth, and into the postpartum, you will have a much more positive experience and better birth outcomes. And that kind of support is now really lacking. I think due to, you know, years of underfunding, years of understaffing, midwives are now incredibly pushed in the work that they do. So their role is very much focusing, for the majority of NHS maternity, on the clinical kind of outcomes for mum, birthing person, and their baby, rather than the kind of physical and emotional support that we need when we're pregnant, we're having our family, when we are birthing our babies, and then postnatally when we're kind of recovering from that process and settling into life as a new family.
So it's almost as though the emotional side of the support is not really being prioritized in the current health service.
I think so. I mean, you know, we look back kind of fondly on the NHS, back to a time of, you know, call the midwives, when they were all pedaling around on their bicycles, and you'd see the same person antenatally for a good period of time. You'd have, you know, an hour, 2 hours, they'd come and have a cup of tea in your house, you'd, you know, spend time talking about how you're feeling and how the pregnancy is going. They'd meet your other children, your husband, your partner. Now, most people antenatally, you go to a doctor's surgery to see your midwife. The antenatal appointments are 10 to 25 minutes long. There's an awful lot of form filling that needs to be done. And the focus is very much on the kind of the basic health requirements. So your OBS, your blood pressure, you know, how well you're doing, blood's being taken, fundal measurements being done. But there's not a lot of focus on your health and welfare as a pregnant woman.
Yeah, that's so true. I mean, even the appointments that I've been going to have been very much tick the boxes, and I don't see any box for, you know, how are you? Yeah. How's everything going? I don't think there is currently a box.
No, there is no box. And I think, you know, you're very lucky if you get to see the same midwife twice. So you have no opportunity to build up a relationship. They have no opportunity to build up a picture of, you know, who you are and how you're doing and your, you know, domestic situation and how you're feeling about your pregnancy and your expectations around your birth. And then you'll see someone completely different if you choose to go into hospital or into a birth center or even have a home birth. The chances are you'll see a completely different group of midwives yet again. They will have no idea who you are or how you feel about the whole process, or, you know, what the particulars are of your pregnancy or your relationship with your partner or anything else that's going to have a huge impact on how you give birth.
Yeah. I remember with Juniper's birth, I was quite shocked by that realization that you're not going to have the same midwife holding your hand, because you go to that first appointment, you're kind of smiley and you're excited and you're like, I'm going to meet my midwife.
Absolutely.
You know, yeah. Then you just get that shock where it's like, no, this is probably not going to be your midwife. And they're running around speaking to so many other women and families. Yeah. So I'm going to ask you lots of questions, but the first one I want to start with is, how do you know when you found the right doula? Because you've only got 30 minutes or an hour conversation over Zoom, you know, for a chemistry. And it's a massive, massive thing to say, come into my birth space, come into my life. How do you know it's the right person?
It's a tricky one, isn't it? I mean, it's a bit like speed dating. You know, you've got an hour perhaps to get to kind of know someone, for them to get an idea of what you're looking for in terms of support, if you've got any particular needs. And, you know, then you have to decide if you really, you know, like, trust, respect that person, if you feel like they're going to be a good support for you in your birth space. I think a lot of it has to come down to instinct. You know, when I'm training doulas, I get asked the question, like, how will I get my first job? Who's going to hire someone who's not got lots of experience? And the answer for me is always that we hire doulas based on a feeling. You know, it's a bit of a cliche, but you do just know, you know, and I think it has to feel just right for you. And if it doesn't feel just right for you, please don't hire them. Don't hire someone just because you think, I have to have a doula. You've got to really feel super comfortable, because they're going to be with you for a very long period of time and be through like an incredibly transformative experience.
100%. And I would agree. Obviously, everyone knows that I'm a doula. Having gone through the process just now of trying to find a doula, I knew straight away, like within the first few minutes. It's just kind of like, it's kind of like when you meet the one, I guess.
Yeah.
And I would also add that if you have any niggling feelings or any uncertainties in that chemistry call, pay attention to that, because
absolutely, yes,
that's a warning sign. And it is just a feeling, isn't it? Like you do know when you know.
Yeah. And I think, you know, it's important to realize that the doulas, they're not your best friend. You know, they are a birth professional, but the relationship that you will have, that trust you will build with them, has to be based on that initial feeling of kind of comfort and acceptance. But there is a doula out there for everyone. You know, everyone has a different idea about the kind of doula they want or how they want to give birth. And there are as many different doulas as there are people having babies.
Yeah. And would you say, because a lot of people say, well, oh, you know, if I'm going to have an epidural, then what's the point of having a doula? People associate doulas with natural physiological births rather than cesarean sections and inductions and epidural. So what would you say to that?
So I think actually, if you are planning a birth in a medicalized setting, so hospital or a birth center, having a doula is almost even more important. Having an extra pair of hands in the birth space who can, you know, physically support you through those processes. Having an epidural means that you're quite likely to be a lot less mobile. You may need support moving around. You may need help getting into better positions. You may need someone to, you know, provide additional comfort measures for you. So having that kind of knowledgeable birth advocate in your space, even when you're having what might be considered, you know, quite a medicalized birth, is super useful. You know, there is this idea that doulas just want to do home births and fairy lights and, you know, people giving birth under trees in fields or whatever it might be, but it's absolutely not the case. There are doulas out there who will support every form of birth.
I would totally agree. And with epidurals, you know, just because the pain's gone, it doesn't mean that the emotional intensity isn't there. Often I find with my clients, they've gone through a very stressful, kind of intense, painful birth. They have the epidural and they're left with the kind of psychological stuff of thinking, should I have had the epidural? But also, what's going to happen now? You know, because you don't have the contractions to deal with. So you've just got your mind. And that's where the doula can come and spot that you're perhaps thinking too much, bring you back down, get you a drink, and just calm your nervous system.
And if you're having those kind of interventions, the chances are that your relationship partner, who will be perhaps your first primary birth partner, they may also feel at a bit of a loss. You know, they will, if you're having procedures like an epidural, they'll probably be presented with a sheet that they have to, you know, read and sign that has all these awful side effects written on it. And it's very overwhelming for people. And a doula can be there to support not only you having the baby, but also your birth partner, and make sure you're both feeling emotionally safe and secure and really comfortable with the decisions that you're making.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I find that people think that the doula is there to be, how do I put it, like a bodyguard. So here's my birth plan, and these are the things I do not want. And so you need to make sure that this does not happen. And I'm working with a doula at the moment, and there's definitely a list of things that I don't want to happen. And I am going to give it to her, because it is her job to advocate for me. Is it her job to be my bodyguard? Probably not. But is it her job to ensure that my birth plan is respected? I would say yes. But then where are the limitations to how much a doula can advocate? Just talk to us about advocacy in your own way, actually. Yeah.
So, I mean, I guess the first thing to say is a doula is not a medical professional, and we don't make clinical decisions ever. That's not our job. And if you're in a position where you've got, you know, a set of things in your birth plan that you really, really want to be stuck to, no matter what kind of birth, you know, how it pans out, what kind of birth you've chosen, then having someone with you who can kind of advocate for those things is super useful. But a doula only has so much agency in the birth space. You know, we're not there to throw our weight around or make anyone's life difficult. Our primary role is to help support your birth space, to kind of hold that space so you feel safe and comfortable and like you're being listened to. So in terms of advocacy, it's not, you know, your doula going in there with their sword in their shield, in their, you know, chip on their shoulder, like, it's going to be like this and it's got to do look like this, because it doesn't work. All you're going to do is put a lot of people's backs up and probably end up getting kicked out of maternity. What we do as advocates is mostly we listen and we ask relevant questions, and then we ask for time so that you are given the opportunity as the person having the baby to make choices in a relatively kind of relaxed and unobserved way. So the last thing you want is to be told you've got to have a procedure. In your mind, in your birth plan, you're like, I did absolutely not want that. But a doula would then step in and say, okay, could you explain to us maybe why that you feel that's medically necessary, please, healthcare professional? And, you know, what are the pros and cons of doing that? And what if we just do nothing? Okay, great. Thanks for the information. Now, can we have 5 minutes to think about that on our own in peace, if it's not an emergency, so that, you know, you as the person having the baby can take that moment, you know, ground yourself a bit maybe and reconnect with how you're feeling about what's going on, and then make a decision. What we see quite often, especially at the moment in maternity care, is there's a lot of time pressure. A lot of people are expected to make very snap decisions about very significant things. You know, are you having a cesarean now? Is it time to, you know, augment your labor? Are we going to break your waters? We need to do a VE. All these things have a huge amount of time pressure on them. And actually, most of the time, they're not huge emergency scenarios. And by being able to have someone with you who can create that space and say, can we have 10 minutes? You know, and is this really a life and death emergency, or do we actually have time to think about this? And is that going to alter the outcome in any way? Is a real advantage, because you as the person having the baby don't want to be having that kind of discussion with a healthcare provider. Your romantic partner, or your, you know, maybe your family member who's acting as your birth partner, may not feel emotionally equipped to do that and ask those questions. So having someone who's kind of slightly one step removed, not emotionally involved with you in to the same extent as, you know, family or relationship partner, means that you've got someone there who's going to keep a level head and enable you to make those decisions kind of in peace, hopefully.
Yeah, that's such a good way of putting it. The what you said about we help you buy time, create time to then help you to think, to help you make the decision ultimately.
Yeah.
But I would also say that if there are things like for me, for instance, I'm planning on having a home birth. And if I do invite the midwives, I want them to come in very quietly and I don't want them to introduce themselves and come down to my level and do anything. I want them to keep distance. So in that scenario, the doula can do that. And that's not even really, you know, I mean, it is a form of advocacy, but that's not making a medical decision. That's just ensuring that a part of my birth plan is adhered to. And hopefully the midwives would say, yeah, absolutely. We'll have a cup of tea, you know, whereas the doula probably couldn't say, no, don't do that episiotomy.
No. And I think, you know, you should absolutely expect your doula to be able to meet your midwives at the door and say, hi, we're really excited to see you. This is the kind of situation she's in. This is how well she's coping. This is her birth plan. I'll pop the kettle on. You take a moment to read it and then we'll, you know, move through into the birth space and you can introduce yourselves. But she doesn't want, you know, X, Y, and Z. Are you happy with that? Yes or no? And then kind of move on from there. We do get quite a lot of pushback around that. So my favorite kind of phrase that I hear at home births when doulas do things like that is that we are, you know, guarding the space, which is not what we're doing particularly, but also we can't do our job. That's what midwives like to say. We can't do our job if we're not sitting with her in the room and we haven't been in and explained everything, because their guidelines say now that they have to explain the pros and cons of absolutely everything they're going to do and say to you in the birth space. And it's a tricky balance for midwives, because they, you know, especially home birth midwives, they know how birth works. They know that interfering with the physiology of birth is going to slow everything down and possibly, you know, send it off on a different path altogether. But at the same time, they are under pressure from, you know, their employer to do a certain number of things when they enter the birth space. So it is a tricky road to tread as a doula, because as soon as you invite that midwife into their space, they have a job to do. And they have to be, you know, they have to be able to record that they have done that job, which, you know, leaves a lot of people saying, okay, well, we won't call them till a bit later, maybe, which is fine. But yeah.
And what about free birth? So if a doula is supporting you and you had intended to call the midwives, but in the moment decided that maybe you didn't want all of what you've just described and that the space was really still and protected and calm and safe and familiar, and you decided that you didn't want them, would the doula be able to stay with you? Does it depend? I mean, I know the answers to this, but I'm asking you for everyone else. Would it depend on the doula? You tell us, can they support free birth and in what capacity?
Yes, absolutely. Doulas can support you to have free birth. But I would ask you to make sure that if that is in any way in your mind, that you have that conversation antenatally with your doula. And that conversation generally goes along the lines of, okay, so if we call the midwives and they tell us there's no home birth team that night, or they tell us that they're only working between 9 and 5 that day, or they tell us that no one's available and I decide to keep going on my own, are you happy to stay? And most doulas are happy to stay. But it is absolutely, you know, the right of the doula to say, no, I believe you should have a medical professional present, and that's not something I'm comfortable with, and therefore I'm going to leave. Because at the end of the day, your birth is your responsibility. It's not your doula's responsibility. It is your responsibility. I haven't met many doulas who won't support free birth. I do quite regularly. And I know that it's generally, for me, it's one of my favorite things to do, because it is, as you say, it's, you know, you're in that beautiful moment and it's quiet and unobserved and no one's fussing and no one's taking notes or, you know, asking to listen to the baby's heart rate or take your temperature or anything else. It's just, it is generally a beautiful space to be in and a magical thing to be part of.
Wow. And is there fear there from your perspective when you support a doula? Do you feel more fearful than if the midwife wasn't there?
Personally, no. You know, we have this kind of perception in the West that hospital is the safest place to give birth. And for some reason, we equate safety and hospital together. But actually, if you look at the, you know, your local maternity stats, if you look at the national maternity stats, if you look at the research, research bears out that actually home birth is the safest place for you to be. And so I have, you know, and I've been doula now for 12 years, and I have seen more things go wrong in hospital than I've never seen anything go wrong at home birth. Not like that. Not without, you know, home births without intervention, home births without people fussing and messing up the kind of physiology of the space have all been fine.
Wow.
Hospital births are generally where things go awry. And that's because we have this timeline when you're in a hospital. You have this perception of risk, and then the constant activity to be risk averse tends to create more problems than it resolves. So yeah, no, I don't feel the fear. I have no fear, you know, and I have been at births where babies have been stillborn, and I have been at births where, you know, very tragic things have happened to babies, but they've been births in hospital that have been hospital births.
Wow. You said that doulas aren't medically trained and can't make medical decisions, but what happens if you're at a free birth and you know that you have the tools to do something that's going to help the baby? So I don't know, let's say resus, for example, and you know, you have the knowledge, you have an amazing relationship with the family. Do you step in?
It's really tricky, isn't it? Because legally, it's a very murky area. If you are being paid to be in a birth space and you do something that's a clinical task, you may be falling foul of the law. So you do have to be super careful that you don't do any clinical tasks. I could tell a parent how to do something. Mm-hmm. And if I'm working with people who are choosing to free birth, then I will actively support them antenatally to learn all those skills themselves.
Right.
I would phone an ambulance. Absolutely. That would be the first thing I would do. And then probably talk them through how to do things like neonatal resus. But it's not something that I would do myself. You know, you're not covered by the Good Samaritan law if you're being paid to be in the space.
Right, right. Yeah, it's interesting because I did know a doula who did the Roberts manoeuvre.
Wow.
Well, it helped the baby though, but yes.
Well, I bet it did. And this is, you know, and it's a personal, it's going to be a personal thing, isn't it? Because would you really stand there on the sidelines while a baby wasn't breathing? If you knew what to do, if you did nothing, could you live with that?
Yeah, I could probably live with myself more if I did something and got in trouble. Yeah.
I mean, I think that, you know, the main thing that doulas worry about is being accused of impersonating a midwife.
Hmm.
So you have to be careful that the clinical things that you do wouldn't be considered midwifery skills.
Right.
So I think, and don't quote me on this, but I think CPR is not considered a midwifery skill. It's just a medical skill in general. You know, so you wouldn't ever find a doula, for example, doing a VE, because that is a midwifery skill.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm pregnant. I'm thinking about having a doula. I book in a few chemistry meetings. Who leads those chemistry meetings and what questions should I prepare in advance?
I love the fact you call them chemistry meetings. I've been trying to think of a word other than interview for like years. Because it's not, you know, it's not like going to a job interview. It's a two-way street. You've got to respect each other.
Vibe check.
Yeah, it's a vibe check session, you know. But that is really important. And we've talked already about the importance of kind of having that feeling. You've got to feel, you know, right off the bat, you've got to feel super comfortable with them. And if you've got any niggly suspicions, then they're not the right person for you. But I think, you know, some really important things to ask are around, you know, the kind of birth that they're happy to support, because a lot of birth workers will not support birth in hospital. They'll only do things like home births or free births. So checking in with them to make sure that they're happy to support that kind of birth. Being really clear about what kind of support you're looking for. So, you know, are you a second time mum and you've had a horrifically traumatic experience in hospital and you need, you know, specific emotional support around A, potentially birthing in the same venue again, or perhaps looking at other options and being supported in those choices. So, you know, or are you just, you know, first time when you haven't got a clue and you don't want to read the books or whatever it might be, and you just need someone to kind of fill you up with knowledge and, you know, support you in that way. So I think being really clear about who you are and what kind of support you're looking for is the next thing. I don't think experience is particularly important. It's much more about how the doula feels about advocating for you, how the doula kind of interprets what you're saying to them about your experiences and what you're looking for. What you should be super wary of is a doula that turns up with an agenda. Yeah, because, you know, it should be clear from a doula's website right off the bat, you know, what kind of stuff they're, you know, what direction they're heading in. Are they like super, birth should be completely unmedicalized and they only support free birth and they only support, you know, people who birth in yurts and all the rest of it? Are they, you know, you kind of more straightforward doula, they'll do any kind of birth? Do they only work with VBAC parents perhaps, or HBAC parents, so vaginal or home birth, vaginal birth after cesareans, you know, because there are lots of doulas that specialize in various different things. So having a really strong idea about, you know, what their agenda is, or making sure they have no agenda when it comes to you and your birth. Because what you don't want is a doula turning up and saying, you should give birth like this. This is the best way to give birth. Like, we may know that physiological birth rocks. It's amazing. It's brilliant for mums and babies. But if you've got your heart set on being in a birth centre, or you've got perhaps a secondary condition and you really, you know, you have a medical need to give birth in hospital, then having a doula turning up and being like, oh, you should give birth at home in a pool, is not going to work, is it? You know, so make sure they don't have any specific agenda right from the outset. Their job should be to support you to make choices about what you want without their ego being involved.
Yeah. I'd also say ask to see the contract, because all yep. doulas work differently and they might have some clauses in there that you don't agree with or that reveal a certain agenda or style of yeah. working.
Also, remember, doulas are, you know, they are human beings. They're not like magic angels. We all have families and, you know, life and all sorts of other stuff going on. So you have to be aware that, yes, you're hiring this person because you want them in your birth space, but do they have a clause in their contract that says they're going to have backup? Or perhaps they're going to work as a shared care doula and you're going to get two doulas looking after you so that you know that you've got definitely one of them in your birth space. It's important, I think, for people having babies to remember that their doula does not make or break their birth.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, we are not a fix-all. Like, we're not the magic bullet that's going to make it all seem perfect. And a good doula should keep coming back to how they're supporting you and your intuition to do what feels best for you and your baby.
Yeah.
Throughout your pregnancy and your birth and postnatally.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's also the empowerment piece that happens over pregnancy. So my goal when I work with clients is that they can turn around to me and say, I don't need you at yeah, birth.
Absolutely.
And I've had one of my clients called me lastminute.com. I walked in the room and she was squat on the bed birthing the baby. And yep. I just said, brilliant. Like amazing. that proves that all of this amazing work. And we debriefed and she said, yeah, it's from the work. And so that's the level I would want to get to. And sometimes yeah. I've found with clients when I do feel that they are very, very needy towards the end, I will replay that back to them and say, look, what's going on? Like, I really want you to be in a place where you feel you can do this without me, just in case. But also, that's a good feeling to have. Not that you, yeah. I need that person, you know?
Yeah. What I would want is for your doula to hold you in such a way that, like you're saying, you feel confident that you can do it without them, but also that you can, you know, at the same time lean in for the bits where you might need them, yeah. or that they have supported your partner in such a way that your partner's like, I've got this, like, you know, lean on me and we'll be good. Because, you know, yes, it's very good for our egos when your client turns around to you after the birth and they're like, I couldn't have done it without you. And it's like, but actually you could. And what I really want for my clients is to then turn around and be like, I did this, not you being here made it all perfect, but I did this because over my pregnancy and throughout this process, you supported me in my intuition, in my choices, in my agency. So I felt strong enough to do what I felt was right for me and my baby.
Yeah, they own the birth. I'm always so Absolutely. Clear about that.
Yeah.
So in your view, what are the key skills that a doula must possess to be someone who is, you know, phenomenal at what they do? And maybe some red flags. We've spoken about agenda, but that could be an interesting one to touch on.
Yeah, I think the biggest red flag for me, and I found this really tricky with training doulas, is trauma, previous trauma. Because the Absolutely. Last thing you need is someone who is feeding off their own trauma. They either want to be in your birth space because they want to save you from the experience that happened to them. That is a huge no-no. Or they come into your birth space and they're so unbelievably triggered by all the sights and sounds and smells and things that you're doing that suddenly they're falling apart. And it's quite difficult initially when you meet people who are interested in training to become doulas to kind of separate out, like, are they the kind of person who's had a traumatic experience and they've learned and they've grown and they've processed that trauma and now they feel in a place where they can support other people? Or are they still in a place where everything comes back to them and their trauma?
Yes.
And, you know, there is, and I say this so many times, there is no space in the birth room for your ego. And so if your ego comes with all this pain and trauma and you dish that out constantly, you know, and that can look like things like, oh, well, I would just go for the C-section because I had an induction and it was horrific. That kind of like very obvious, you know, comparatonitis that goes on, you know, to doulas who are purposefully trying to push a specific narrative because of the experiences that they've had.
Oh, this is, I just, yeah, want to echo this so much. And I would say that I think this is why I've chosen someone who hasn't given birth, because I can sense.
That's really interesting.
Yeah. And I did interview lots of doulas and I could see this, like I could see through it, either the saving or the, it, you always hear about their births as well. And I'm like, hold on a minute, we're talking about me here, but it's so intertwined. And so this lovely woman I'm working with doesn't have children and she's just so passionate about birth. Do you ever find that doulas come and train with you that don't have children?
Absolutely. And I get approached by people all the time and they say things like, oh, I haven't had a baby. Like, can I be a doula? And I'm like, absolutely, yes, because you don't come with any preconception from your own experience. Like, we are all, you know, affected by the kind of cultural preconceptions around birth. But to have given birth yourself, that experience is so deeply embedded within you that if it has been a very traumatic experience, it can be really complex, a complex process to kind of overcome that trauma or begin to heal yourself from that trauma to get yourself to a place where you could look after other people without that trauma, like getting involved. So I do find that, yeah, doulas who haven't had babies, brilliant. They make great doulas. And I think the other thing is that you can have had a really positive birth. And I have people who've come to train with me and they're like, I've had two water births and birth's amazing and it looks like this and it happens like this. And you have to kind of keep reminding them that actually it doesn't for everyone. For a lot of people, in fact, 98% of the population who give birth in this country, it's not a pool at a home with the fairy lights. It's not a free birth. For most people giving birth in this country, they will have been through some kind of medical setting. And like half of them will have had some form of intervention of some kind. So I used to kind of say, you have to have completely healed from whatever traumatic experience you've been through. But I think healing from trauma is a process. And I think if you can get to the point in the process where you feel comfortable and you understand the things that trigger you and you have started that healing process to the point where you can say to someone, I'm going to put my shit aside. Sorry, that's all. Put my stuff aside.
Don't worry.
And, you know, I'm putting this in a box over here because this is about you and your birth and your space and nothing else. And you are all that matters in this situation.
Yeah.
And if you have had a traumatic experience and you can get to that point, you will make an incredible doula. But you have to get to that point before you start the training.
Yeah. So what about the key skills of doulas? So I'm not talking about like personal attributes. I want to hear more about like what they actually do. What do doulas do in the birthing space? Like massage and all of those things. Because that's a common question I get asked. It's like, what are you going to do? What are you actually going to do?
I mean, it's tricky, isn't it? Because when I trained as a doula, we were told that doulas do not do. Doulas just be in the birth space. And I was like, but I just want to hold this person or I want to rub this person's back. And then I used to kind of go away and sit on my hands and tell myself off because I thought that that was wrong. But actually, there are different doulas and different doulas do different things. And this is a good thing to ask in your interview. What are the things that you will bring to the birth space? So yes, massage, touch is so important. You know, when you're having a baby, if you're the kind of person who likes to be touched, if you're not, and you get a very handsy doula, like that's not going to work, is it? So, you know, if you're that person, you have to make sure when you're interviewing doulas that they're not a very hands-on touchy doula. But we love massage. We love biomechanics. So working with the body to create balance and space, both antenatally and then in the birth space as well. So we use different kind of hands-on techniques to manipulate the body in different ways to help you kind of find ease and comfort, but also to help kind of balance out the body as well, so that it's the the easiest process then for baby to move through the body. Aromatherapy, a lot of doulas love aromatherapy. We know that your sense of smell during pregnancy and birth is super heightened. And things like aromatherapy that work both on your olfactory senses, so your sense of smell, but also can impact the bloodstream as well, have a really positive, powerful impact on the birthing person and all the people in the room. Love putting a diffuser on in a, you know, a very uptight delivery suite and watching everyone just calm down. You know, that's great. We use movement a lot as well. So we will, I'm not a fan of kind of prescribing labor positions. I really want you to listen to your body and figure out where you feel most comfortable. But we might kind of encourage you to move in a particular way. I've seen your birth ball videos, you know, lots of figures of eights and swing and all that kind of thing. Just lots of normalizing stuff as well. So, you know, doulas are super used to seeing people give birth, be naked, make loud noises, have a poo whilst they're having a baby, all of that stuff. We are, you know, we have no issues with any of that stuff. You can totally expect your doula to be sieving poo out of a pool whilst rubbing your back, telling you you're doing amazing and feeding you snacks. Like, you know, all of those things. And we also then teach those things to your partner. So if you do have, you know, a family member or a romantic partner that you really want to step up and be in the birth space in that kind of physical way, we can help teach those skills to your partner as well.
Yeah, love that. Very well summarized. I would also say before you go and find a doula, get clear on like what you want, because you can direct it and you can shape the relationship and make sure that they're doing things that you actually like and that you want them to do. So like you say, like, well, I figured out really early on with one client I was working with that she would not like being fussed, you know, and that was something that ended up being really important. And she was just like, thank you so much, because I didn't know that. So that's another thing that doulas can listen to you on so many levels and then replay it back to you and say, okay, so what I understand is that you probably don't want me to, push your hair out of your face. I said to, push your hair out your face and tie it up for you and put your flip-flop on. And she was just like, gross, don't you dare. Like, don't touch me. I'd rather have my hair stuck to my face than feel your hand on my, you know, and it became so clear that she did not want any of that. So, yeah, get clear on what you want. And they can help you get clear on what you want. But I would say it's always good to come with some ideas. And you know yourself well enough, hopefully. Yeah. And we stay the same people during our births as well. So we don't just morph and say, right, I'm really going to like
to be touched now.
And we're not going to be mortally offended. I think,
yes,
we're quite used to playing, you know, as women, we're quite used to playing the good girl. And I've seen a lot of people who are like, oh, I didn't want to offend you, but I didn't want this. It's like, I do not care. Like, you can tell me to bugger off in the first place, and that's absolutely fine. And we get vice versa as well, where they'll tell their husband to leave, but they want you to stay. Always awkward. But if they are preferring you rubbing their back and they want their husband to step out of the space, or they want, I had a client once shout at a midwife who touched them. And I guess the midwife assumed it was okay because I'd been constantly like rubbing this woman's back for like hours on end. I stepped away to get a drink and the midwife tried to take over, and oh my goodness me, like,
that's, you know, hilarious.
We can't make assumptions about this stuff, but you know yourself, you know your body. You know, if you're the kind of person who really thrives on things like, you know, being in the bath, you love a bath, or you, you know, you love to dance, or you love to, I don't know, hang out with your partner and chat shit and watch Netflix, like whatever it is that you need will still be the same stuff that you need when you're having a baby. So be really clear with your doulas. Just be really transparent about what you're looking for and what you like, what you don't like. We won't be offended.
And you can agree on like hand signs, or I had one client who had a set of visual icons that she printed out and she just pointed. So it said, hungry, don't touch, do more of that, do less of that. Help, you know, put my headscarf on, headscarf off, fan. And that worked really well because she wasn't the most vocal person. And also it stopped her from engaging her neocortex in such a way where she's like, oh, when should I ask for this now? And but I'm feeling nervous. And she just wants to get in her zone. A lot of people listening will actually be people that will go on to want to be doulas one day, I think. A lot of people that do my birth box course, always I get a handful of messages weekly saying, how did you train, tell me more, like I'm so inspired, and usually it's because of their births, right? They've gone and had usually what I hear really amazing births, and they want to do something with the knowledge. And there's also lots of hypnobirthing teachers that listen to this podcast who perhaps want to level up and do something more hands-on and be in the space like I did.
Absolutely.
To talk to us about what your training program offers, how long it is, what's involved, how much you will be involved as in face-to-face with them, and also the price. That would be really helpful.
Yeah, so I founded the original Birth Connection 3 years ago at the start of 2021 after COVID lockdown, when it became very apparent that a lot of doulas were not equipped to advocate for people in the birth space. We didn't have enough knowledge about, you know, human rights law in this country. And a lot of doulas were feeling very isolated. And I'd been mentoring doulas for quite a few years by that point. And so I kind of put all that stuff together and I came up with the course. And when I sat down and looked at it, I realized it was a 6-month course. So that's the longest course that we have available in the UK at present. And it is that long on purpose because I want people to take time to be able to deep dive, you know, really immerse themselves in everything to do with birth. So we look at birth physiology, we look at advocacy skills, we look at nurturing people through the postpartum period, we look at kind of all the intricacies of birth work, so boundaries and cultural safety and LGBTQ competency. We look at how to build a business, because there's no point in skilling you up in this incredible thing if you've got no kind of clue about how you're actually going to earn a living at it. So you do 7 modules of online study at your own pace, which means you can fit it in around kids or work or whatever else you're doing. Through the 6 months, you get one-to-one mentoring sessions with me. So I am there holding your hand every step of the way, supporting you whilst you do the work, whilst you're learning. We do masterclasses, which are live Zoom events with experts in their field. So we've got a cultural safety and advocacy masterclass, one on cesarean birth, because so many people are having cesareans, one on perinatal trauma. It's really important that the course is a trauma-informed course. And that is not only learning how to look at other people's trauma, but also how to work with yourself if you experience vicarious trauma in the birth space. And tongue tie, because tongue tie is something that we see an incredible amount of postnatally. And it's really important that doulas who are in the postnatal space know how to spot that stuff. So you do live masterclasses with experts in their field. And then we meet every other week as a group. So we do a group session on a Wednesday evening and we have discussion sessions. And we talk about things like human rights and birth physiology and working with high risk clients and cultural appropriation and professionalism in the birth space and all the kind of, you know, interesting things that you need to unpack when you're going to be a doula. And then the training culminates in 2 days of in-person training. We hold those in-person training events in the Southwest and in London, but we're also looking at venues in Kent and in Cumbria for 2024. And in those 2 days, we do all the kind of what we call soft skills. So all that stuff I mentioned about the doulas do in the birth space, so the massage and the breath work and the movement, a bit of aromatherapy. We do some kind of role plays. So we look at how we advocate in the birth space. And then we look at setting up a birth space and working out how we optimize the birth space for people. And so you do all that and you get to hang out with all the other doulas who've done your training as well, which is a wonderful thing. And then you have completed your course. But then it's the start of your journey as a birth worker. And so over the next 12 months, we will support you with one-to-one mentoring and by text as well to undertake 5 kind of birth jobs, doula jobs, we call them. We're relatively kind of loose on the description because we want you to do the things that work for you. We're really keen that doulas build their own scope of practice. So we've got people who are, you know, have been counselors and they're really interested in things like perinatal trauma. So they're going to hold group sessions for perinatal trauma as well as attending births. But those jobs count as well. We've got people who specialize in postnatal. We've got people who have become birth photographers as part of their doula work. Lots of hypnobirthing instructors who combine hypnobirthing, either group sessions or one-to-one sessions with clients as part of their birth work. So there's so many different things that you can do that count as one of those 5 jobs. But we'll be with you every step of the way. And we've got an amazing online community now of doulas across the UK. And we're starting to reach out into Europe as well. So,
wow. Sounds so thorough. I remember when I left my week-long residential, very intense, very, very, very good course and very full-on. I do think it could have been spread out. One of the things that people were saying was, I don't feel ready. I don't feel ready to set up a business. I don't feel ready to work with clients. And we had this WhatsApp group that just continued and we ended up organizing our own Zooms as a way to help each other through because we needed it. No one felt ready to go and take on births after that. So it was off the back of those Zooms, everyone sharing stories, cheering each other on. That support network that we created ourselves was what I think was the springboard of fundamentally what supported us. So it's amazing.
Yeah, we've got that online community and they are an amazing bunch. And that's graduates and trainees. They all support each other. And then as and when things come up, so in the last few weeks, for example, a lot of trainees were asking kind of business related questions. I dropped into the group and said, don't forget, it's the end of the tax year soon. And everyone started panicking about doing their tax returns. So we had an ad hoc session around kind of business management and looking at how you do your own self-assessment and, you know, when to become a limited company and all the rest of the kind of intricacies of running your own business. Because even though we do business training as part of the course, there are going to be things that pop up, you know, as and when you start working. We did another session relatively recently about free birth, because a number of our doulas got pregnant and they've all gone on to have free births, which is incredible. But it meant that a lot of questions came up in the group around, you know, how doulas support that and what the law is and all the rest of it. So we had a session on that. So we like to try and kind of constantly be getting feedback from the doula community about what they need and then trying to put on kind of extra, I guess you'd call them CPD, continuing professional development kind of events for the birth workers to keep them tooled up.
Yeah, and I think the benefit of doing a longer, more thorough course where you're held in that way is that you have then made a significant investment that you're probably not going to turn your back on so easily. Whereas I think when you do a longer course like that, you actually have way more accountability, because when you complete a virtual course, yes, you get your qualification quickly and you can actually go and practice, but will you actually feel safe, feel comfortable and informed enough to go and support people during birth? Probably yeah. not. And so the good thing about putting the effort in and doing a full 6 months program is that you're probably going to end up using it. Whereas I'd be interested to know the statistics. I bet it's like, yeah.
Yeah. Stop. I mean, so in the last 3 years, we've trained 70 people to become doulas. And all the doulas who want to be working are working. Some of them have gone off and had a baby. A few of them have put the work on hold to do other projects. But bizarrely, recently in the last week, 4 people who put the work on hold had come back and said, can I pick it up again? I said, yeah, absolutely. And we're here to support you to do that. But yeah, so if you want to be working, we will support you to do that. And we try to keep it at a level where we can support you one-to-one. So like last night, a brand new doula, she's just got her first client. And she's like, can I send you my contract and make sure it looks okay? What are the questions that I need to ask? And we'll walk them all through it again, make sure that they, you know, are saying the right stuff and doing the right stuff and that they feel comfortable and they feel ready, which is amazing. Because then you get messages afterwards and they're like, I've just been to this incredible birth and this happened like this. And it's lush. And I get like little voice notes from doulas like appearing from births at 3 in the morning. And they're like all shiny, so cool. Glowing.
Oh,
yeah.
Well done, Alex. I know, yeah, we've met in person and I think what you've built is phenomenal. I kind of want to do it again. So what's the fee?
So the fee is $2,600. And I know that you're going to offer a discount code to your listeners.
Thank you very much. Yeah. It's code pop that, is it?
It is code pop that. And that gives you a 10% discount. And that applies to either paying in one installment or you can pay in 12. You can break it down into 12 monthly installments. So it makes it about £210 a month.
If this is something that you're thinking of doing, you will make that money back with one client if you're in London. Yeah. So you will definitely make the money back with two clients. And I would also just say, like, lifestyle wise, like, being a doula is amazing because you have a lot of time. You get to be, you know, part of someone's life in a huge way, and each birth stays with you forever. I think I feel like I've kind of matured through the experience, and it's just one of the most amazing jobs in the world.
You learn so much about yourself. I think that's part of the thing that I love so much. And like you say, like, I think you really mature as an individual. And I think I got into it in the first place because I had 2 very, very small children. And I needed something that I could fit in around my kids and that fed my passion for birth. So it was perfect.
We're going to be organising a masterclass, a free masterclass. So keep your eyes on the link in the description for anyone that wants to know what it's like being a doula. And it will also be a chance to ask more questions about the programme in detail. But thank you so much, Alex.
Thank you. It's been brilliant.
For joining us. And if you do want to go ahead and sign up straight away, the code is pop that for your 10% off. Go and be phenomenal doulas.
Brilliant. Thank you so much, Poppy.
I will also leave Alex's handle and website in the show notes for anyone.